afternoon, and welcome to the inaugural show of And Then There's That, a bi-weekly podcast with myself, Dennis Lane, and my co-host, Paul Scalney.
How are you doing today, Dennis?
I'm doing good, Paul.
Good.
And our show is going to be about people, politics, and punditry.
And we are going to be broadcasting from the Lakeside Cafe in Town Center. We'd like to thank Michael and Min So, the owners of Lakeside Cafe. And most recently, their new location over at the new Medical Pavilion, we have Michael's Cafe.
Michael's Cafe.
I'd like to thank them for allowing us to do the show from their location.
Okay. The show, and some people say, why are we doing this? Well, that's a damn good question.
Because we have nothing better to do.
That's clear.
This kind of evolved out of a conversation going back, I guess, to the Columbia Foundation Spring Party, actually, where they started this year, of having a podcast that tie in with Hoko Mojo as they expand their offerings on the Internet about local news. And I thought, you know, I got to have somebody who is kind of has a warped view of the community like me, and Paul was a perfect kind of counterpoint to that.
And so. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
So
feelings mutual.
Yeah. So and maybe it'd be helpful if you kind of knew a little bit about Paul and I and how we figure that we're the perfect guys to do a show like this. I grew up in Howard County and went to Wild Lake High School, and now actually I'm a partner in a business here, and Paul as well.
Went to Mount Hebron High School, a few years. Dennis is a junior. He's got a few more gray hairs than I do. Graduate of Mount Hebron High School and also a local business owner now. Have a law practice here in Howard County with a number of partners.
Since we're mentioning high schools, I didn't realize we were going to get into the actual alma maters.
You said Wild Lake.
Did I say Wild Lake?
You did.
I did say Wild Lake. Okay.
See, another testament that he's got a few years on me.
What'd you say?
Nothing.
The show every week will, or every other week, it depends on how it goes, will also feature we'll have a guest, and we have a guest with us today that we'll be introducing in a minute. And we'll also be talking about every week we'll pick a news story that's specific to Howard County that kind of strikes our fancy. We kind of talk about this in advance. And at some, we'll also, at the end of the show, we'll be going around lakes to this wonderful Lakeside Cafe and talking to some of the patrons here. So if you ever want to come down and watch the taping of the show and throw in your two cents at the end, we'll actually have a segment for that.
And feel free to give us any feedback you have about the show. We'll have a link to an email on hokomojo.com's website. Look for And Then There's That at hokomojo.com. And feel free to send that off to us. We'll be happy to consider any guests that you'd like us to look at and any feedback you have to our shows.
Yeah, again, this is about people, politics, and punditry. We're not trying not to take ourselves too seriously here. You know, if you have, please, you've got some criticism, throw it our way. If you've got, you want to send us money, we'll take that.
God knows, if you know Dennis and myself, you know that we don't take ourselves too seriously.
No. This is about a lighthearted look at our county. Do you want to start with our news story of the week that we decided to talk about? Or?
Yeah, so how about that proposed bill about the liquor license? So I don't know how many of you have heard about this, but the legislature is looking at limiting the number of liquor licenses based on, I guess, the population in a certain geographic area, or square footage of a certain area. Len would actually be probably our guest today would be happy to, I'm sure, talk about this. But as I understand it, it's going to be one liquor license per 2,600 people.
Really?
Are liquor licenses a little archaic at this point?
Well, you know, I mean, first of all, here's the funny thing about this legislation. And they, I love the politicians of this. Both Guy Bizzone and Warren Miller are the two co-sponsors of it.
Two peas in a pod, I might add.
Well, one's a Republican, one's a Democrat. So we have a beautiful bipartisan, you know, big tent kind of approach here to limiting liquor licenses. I mean, the licensed beverage dealers, I guess, who are backing this thing and pushing them to do this, are pretty clear about they're just concerned about competition.
Well, Dennis, I'm thinking there are too many commercial brokers, and perhaps we ought to limit the competition in your industry.
Too many law firms, don't you think?
No.
I mean, come on, guys. Our liquor license archaic? I mean, don't we have, if you're worried about kids getting alcohol, I don't care how many liquor stores you limit, kids will get alcohol.
Well, Dennis, you were a teenager once. I mean, when there's a will, there's a way. You're going to figure out a way to get that alcohol.
We used to go down to Spotty's on Route 1. You know,
I wish it was only alcohol that you were getting at the time.
We'll have no comment on that.
All right.
Is my probation officer here? I don't know. Anyway, you know, again, this is here we have all these issues in our county, and I just can't believe that that's what we come together on bipartisanship for, is to limit free trade.
Well, I'm looking forward to see what Warren and Guy come up with.
Do you think Warren and Guy, like, get together a lot? It seems like kind of an odd couple.
I would agree.
And maybe we can get some ideas from that. Maybe that's a good time to introduce our guest.
Let's do that.
Our guest today is Len Lazarick. And again, in keeping kind of with the spirit of talking about people politics in Howard County, Len is a longtime chronicler of our community. He's reported for the Columbia Flyer, the Baltimore Examiner, the Business Monthly. And now he has his own venture, MarylandReporter.com. Welcome, Len.
Good to be here. But, you know, as you should know, by the way, MarylandReporter.com, go on the website. Up in the right-hand corner, you can sign up for your daily Monday through Friday newsletter, which includes original content and aggregation from all the open sites. That is your commercial for today.
Didn't waste any time getting that in
there. No, I figured it might get lost in the wayside. Paul and Dennis somehow left out. I'm sure there was alcohol involved in that first discussion of the show. But in any case,
I don't remember.
Speaking of alcohol, the idea of limiting liquor licenses actually has been around for a long time, not in Howard County. In Baltimore County, they're limited by, I forget whether legislative district or council district. Liquor laws, when they got rid of prohibition, they allowed liquor to be regulated at the lowest possible level of government. That is. And that's why you have dry towns in Mississippi inside of wet counties. And in Baltimore County, they have an overall limitation of licenses. As a matter of fact, it involves there are lawyers who specialize in the transfer of liquor licenses in Baltimore County.
Yeah, now isn't that crazy? I mean, in Baltimore County, an individual who holds a liquor license can actually sell it and make a profit on it.
Correct.
They can make a profit on a government issue.
It's like a hack license in New York, a taxi cab license in New York. You know, those medallions go for a lot of money. I don't know what the going price is, but, you know, even years ago they were going for, you know, $40,000.
So really this isn't about protecting the public. This is about creating another new revenue stream for liquor store owners or license holders.
Well, it's a matter of regulating the market, yeah. Yeah, I mean, the whole idea is regulating the market. I mean, it's protecting people.
From themselves.
Yeah, but it's protecting him from having too many shishi wine stores on the corner.
Well, what's wrong with the shishi wine stores? I happen to like shishi wine stores.
Look, guys, I don't know this better than you guys as an attorney, but there's so many books, so many laws on the books we have today that are just archaic, that are still enforced because no one's taken them off the books, no one's repealed them. What are we doing? I mean, if you really stop and look at the consumption of alcohol, it is such a commonplace thing today, particularly in Dennis's life. What are we doing? What are we really trying to accomplish by limiting the number?
We're trying to make money for the lawyers who sell.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Absolutely.
No, it's about protection. I have heard people say, "Gee, they're allowing too many liquor stores," and then generally, when you have too many of any one thing, what happens is one guy goes out of business and the other guy stays in business.
Well, I'm a capitalist at heart. I mean, let the free economy dictate and govern how many liquor stores we have. If you want to put a liquor store up the street from another one and you go belly up because you put your new location in a place where there's already a saturation of liquor stores, so be it. You're gone.
But this is part of the whole pattern of the regulation of liquor. You know, we have there's a whole distribution system of liquor. These guys in liquor stores and bars have to buy their liquor from a distributor. They can't go to a wholesaler directly. They have to buy from a distributor. And there are all kinds of regulations like that. Like the wineries in Maryland can't ship you a case of their wine. You have to go through a distributor to do that. I mean, it's just...
Okay. Well, anyway, that was our story of the week. I mean, we could go on about that, but really why we have you here today is to talk about the upcoming, we're a little less than a year away now from our local elections here in Howard County. And as I'm sure if we kind of walk around Lakeside Cafe, we'd find that many people would be hard-pressed to tell us who their county council person is. So before we actually get into the council...
They'd be hard-pressed to tell you who their congressman is.
Ah, they would be happy. You know, I think.
And then there's that.
And then there's that. I believe sitting here, we're in Elijah Cummings' district. Isn't that correct?
We are. I guess.
I believe we are.
Yes, we are.
You guess?
Yeah.
Anyway, let's start off with the upcoming council county executive race. Mm-hmm. You've got Ken Ullman as our incumbent, finishing off his first term. Widely expected to run for a second term. I've heard cost of $1 million to run for county executive in this county. Is that about right?
I don't know whether it really costs that much. He's probably, you know, getting close to having raised that. This whole business of whether people have announced or not is just kind of ridiculous. I mean, he's been raising money for 4 years. It's like, what are you going to use it for? You know, he actually can't use it for much of anything other than to run for office.
Well, the next election starts the day the last one ends, right?
Yeah, a week off. There's a week off.
sunny vacation in Bermuda.
There's rumor that Trent Gittleman will be challenging Ken.
Well, I spoke to Ken about a couple weeks ago, and there was a story in the flyer yesterday, especially after the elections in New Jersey and Virginia elected the Republican governors, replaced Democrat governors, you know, and Republicans are feeling that next year may be their year. The thing is, other than having the name Kittleman, Trent was married to the late Senator Robert Kittleman and his stepmother for Senator Alan Kittleman. But unless I'm mistaken, she hasn't run for office herself in quite some time. She was a high-level official in the Ehrlich Transportation Department. The Republicans are looking for a solid group of people, of well-known people in the community, to have a really solid ticket in hopes that Bob Ehrlich will run. Now, they all may run regardless of what his decision may be, but Howard County is part of a swing county, and these were Ehrlich administration people in any case, and...
Have you heard any other names besides Trent's being batted around there as a possible Republican challenger?
No, they were going to have to drag somebody out of a closet to do it. I mean, it's basically an incumbent county executive, unless they've really screwed up and made a bunch of people mad or had a terrible scandal, they're going to get reelected. I mean, Chuck Ecker. You could say that, you know, in the case of our one-term county executives, Liz Bobo. Well, she made a lot of developers and a lot of people in the business community mad.
Which is not something Ken has done.
Correct. You know, his politics are basically liberal democratic, although they don't like the L word very much. But he's a standard pro-business Democrat. You know, everybody's his friend.
Now, Len, you mentioned the New Jersey and the Virginia outcome of the election last week. How much, first of all, how much do you think that really conveys into Maryland, both in a gubernatorial race? And is that race different than a county executive race where you really need to, as you said, screw up to really lose your incumbency seat?
Well, you could make the case that the analogy with John Corzine in New Jersey, that he basically screwed up. He made a lot of promises which he couldn't fulfill. His popularity was pretty low. There are a lot of different interpretations of this, actually. You know, the O'Malley campaign manager put out an interpretation yesterday, the head of the Democratic Party. The Republicans are seeing this as a trend. Bob Ehrlich calls those elections relevant, not determinative, but relevant to what may happen here. But it still comes down to local factors. You know, Mike Miller will say, well, John Corzine had 20% approval ratings. Well, he deflated them by, you know, like 10%. It was like 30%. O'Malley's overall ratings is like in the high 40s. So he's more popular than Corzine. Virginia, you still have this odd one-term governor thing, and apparently, I mean, one of the things in Virginia, regardless of everything else, they vote for governor, they vote for a person of the party who is not in the White House. So, I mean, they like their balance all the way around. So, how much effect they will have next year, I don't know.
So you mentioned that the Republicans are rallying to try to pull a group together that will help pull Ehrlich into the state house. Who else have you heard, perhaps on a council level, that's expressing some interest in running?
Bob Flanagan, who was a delegate for some time, was eventually minority leader of the House of Delegates and then transportation secretary, is seriously looking at the council seat held by Courtney Watson.
Yeah, I guess if you have a website, that's serious, because he's got a website up, Flanagan for District 1, already, so.
Oh, he does? Yeah. Oh, since I haven't been, I saw him just last night, not last night, it was yesterday morning. In any case, Flanagan for District 1. Well, he was being kind of coy about it a few weeks ago, so I guess he's not coy. If you have a website, you're not coy.
That's what I'm thinking. You know, yeah. A website makes you uncoy.
And to your point, you never really announce your candidacy. It sort of evolves. It starts as a exploration committee, and then you have a website, and then you say, I'm thinking about it.
Well, you know, he would say, well, I'm thinking about it, and then somebody else would say, oh, he's been knocking on doors. Well, knocking on doors is a little bit beyond thinking about it. It's kind of like, yeah, I mean, hello, knock, 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 knock. This is Bob Flanagan. I'm not sure what I'm doing here.
I'm thinking about running for,
what do you think about Courtney?
Who wants to spend their Saturday going out knocking on, especially in this weather?
And then there's Dennis Schrader that's expressing interest.
Dennis Schrader, right, who held the council seat for one term, and his wife Sandy became the state senator and lost to Jim Robey last time around. So, there are certainly other Republicans who are running, but their names are not as well known to people.
So Len, I got to ask, you know, all these people, Trent and Bob and Dennis, these are all good people. I like them. I know them. But there's a school of thought that they're the has-beens. They've been there. They climbed the political ladder. They went to the state level. And now they're kind of coming back. What's that all about? Is it coming back because they really want to give back to the community where they kind of grew their grass? Or is it really more a attempt to stay in office, and they see the local, the county level as the only place they can really achieve re-election?
Well, those are good questions. I wish.
Thank you.
I wish I had been giving those questions.
That's why we have Paul on the show. He asks good questions.
Say, teacher, why wasn't this on the preparation for the show?
I didn't write that one down on my cheat sheet.
If you took Paul's question and kind of turned it into a statement, that would be an interesting analysis. Hesitant to call anybody a has-been. I mean, Chuck Ecker was in his 60s when he got elected county executive, and he used to bring up with me that. Before he actually decided to get into the race, I was sitting at a function with him and said, "Oh well, but basically, Liz Bogle will be very difficult to beat." You know, I'm good at reporting, which generally means I'm reporting things that have happened. As a prognosticator, I am not so good. You know,
so I'm not going to get you out on a limb.
Not on whether these folks are has-beens. Well, no, I think I am going to steer away from that.
Well, and now that you're harping on the has-been comment, and really it's not meant.
Is this where I come in?
We know that. It's not so much a has-been as much as
Dennis is a never-been.
Yeah, then there's that.
They've been there. They've done a great job in their respective districts. They went to the state house. They had elected cabinet positions in the Ehrlich administration. And now they're kind of coming back. And in my experience, you know, you climb the political ladder, and at some point you retire. It's interesting to me that on the Bob and Dennis front, they're sort of coming back to where they started. And it's just
well. the Bob Flanagan thing strikes me as the most interesting because he had always been at the state level. As a matter of fact, I mean, this is a little piece of trivia. The first time I ever met Bob Flanagan was in 1980, and little known fact about Bob, he was an independent at that point, or became an independent. And in Maryland, he was John Anderson's vice presidential candidate, because you had to have a vice presidential candidate to run as an independent in Maryland. Right. And that's a little piece of trivia that you can easily forget.
I actually remember John Anderson. And
Paul
probably doesn't remember John.
But the idea of him running for council just strikes me as a little odd based on that. Dennis, on the other hand, I mean, he was Homeland Security Director, long time roots in the community. No, you're not going to trap me into that analysis.
I'm not looking for a trap at all.
Do you think any of the incumbents are particularly vulnerable? Any of the incumbent council members are particularly vulnerable this week?
Well, you always have to look at fundamentals, which is, when I talk about fundamentals in politics, it's first of all, party line votes. Certainly, the first district, Courtney Watson district, is a swing district, lots of Republicans and Democrats who vote for Republicans there. I think it's the third district that Jen Tarassa is in, is also has less of a Democratic concentration than where Mary Kay is. I mean, West Columbia is the most liberal, the most Democratic of any district here. And Calvin Ball.
Okay.
But are they vulnerable? Gee, I don't know enough. I don't know enough about it. If you work hard enough and you got a swing district, again, if you haven't really ticked off people, incumbents have an advantage.
I understand Courtney had a pretty successful fundraiser last week that I understand was attended by more R's or arguably a lot more R's than expected.
Than D's.
Yeah.
She works. She works very hard. She works very hard.
She does.
Yeah. I think she also has good staff, too, which makes a difference.
Speaking of working hard, they're all going to be working hard tomorrow.
They're all going to be working hard tomorrow. That's right. This is kind of where we wrap up, and if you didn't quite guess that. Dave is over there dancing on his chair, swinging his arm around, so we have to kind of move this through. I'd like to thank you for joining us today. You don't have to get up and leave or anything.
Thank you for having me.
A cup of coffee before you go. And we hope to have you back because obviously it's going to be a fun year.
Absolutely.
And maybe in a couple months we'll have a lot of different things to be talking about.
So there's people. What is it? People, pundits, and
people, politics,
and
punditry.
And
people, politics, and punditry.
Okay.
Say it third. No. If I do it too much, they'll have to replace this little rubber thing on the mic.
Yeah. Who wrote that for you?
I actually did that.
Three P's. Piper.
And then there's three T's. Glenn, thanks for being here. We appreciate it.
We do appreciate it. And go ahead, Paul. You were talking about the big event tomorrow, which we would be remiss if we didn't mention.
Yep. The county council is holding unprecedented Saturday all-day hearings tomorrow on the county general plan redevelopment of town center.
Yeah.
So we'll be back to you on that, and I'm sure we'll have some news and some interesting stories coming out of tomorrow.
Yeah, it should be a fun day for those the five council members to sit there on their Saturday. Of course, with the weather being lit, well, you might as well sit in the Board of Education and listen to testimony all day. One of the things we thought would be kind of fun to end our show with would be to kind of randomly ask people here in Lakeside Cafe a question. And Paul and I, we actually met for lunch today here, and I had a wonderful lunch at Mike's restaurant, and talked about what our question this week would be. And
this segment is going to be called What Do You Know? And we're going to spend a few minutes today walking around the cafe. There's still a good number of people here from the lunch crowd. And just ask them if they know who Jim Rouse is.
Okay, we're over here now by the infamous lounge chairs at Lakeside Cafe. And lo and behold, here's Mike Davis, one of Paul's partners. And the question of the day is, who is Jim Rouse?
Jim Rouse, the founder of Columbia, the father of Columbia.
And do you know what his vision was?
Oh, everybody knows what his vision was.
Everybody's
got his vision.
And what was his vision?
Oh, you want my interpretation of his vision?
Yeah.
To build a new plant community with a dynamic and vital downtown surrounded by 10 villages that where everybody can live, work, and play and grow as people.
Can you name all 10 villages in Columbia?
In alphabetical order or
reverse?
Wild Lake, Long Reach, Harper's Choice, Town Center, Owen Brown, Hickory Ridge. I'm going to repeat myself. What am I missing? River Hills, one. The King Contrivance.
And who are you, sir?
Keith Blair.
Keith?
How you doing, Keith?
I'm fine.
Did you know who Jim Rouse was?
Yeah. He was the founder of Columbia.
Are you getting that because you were sitting across from Mike?
No.
No. Do you know what his vision was?
I think I do.
Okay.
I think it was to create a community that... in addition to having sort of shopping and that, but to have sort of a diverse income level and ethnic diversity and all sorts of different housing in the community.
Okay, here we are today with...
Rachel Bromstead.
Hello, Rachel. How are you?
I'm just fine, thank you.
Good. We are walking around Lakeside Cafe, and we are asking some patrons here if they know who Jim Rouse was. Who was Jim Rouse?
Jim Rouse was the founder and builder of this city of ours.
Okay. There's been a lot of talk these days about the Jim Rouse vision and whether what's going on in Town Center today and in the redevelopment of Columbia is consistent with Rouse's vision. What do you perceive Jim Rouse's vision to have been?
Well, his vision originally, and I think it's being held to today, maybe not in all areas, but I don't know all the particulars. But his vision was a city where all cultures, all people, no matter what race or culture, or all people could live together.
And do you think that's being fulfilled today?
Well, I could talk about my neighborhood, and I think so. Yes.
Your name?
Reba Bryant.
Okay, and you already know who Jim Rouse is because she told you, right?
Yes.
Okay, so what do you think his vision is?
Well, I think it's what Rachel said, but I think there's a concern about the inequity in housing, and there's a major concern about the proposed density that is being considered for Wild Lake Village as well as downtown.
Now, when you say a major concern, is that a concern that you share?
Yes, I do.
So, Columbia as configured today, do you think that meets your expectation of what you had hoped Columbia would be one day?
Well, I love Columbia, so I'd have to say yes. When we moved here in 1968, I came specifically because of Rouse's vision as to what the city was going to be, having lived in New Orleans and some places.
And you understood that at the age of three? That's incredible. Thank you very much for your thoughts. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
I'd like to thank you today again for joining us here on Then There's That. And I thank to our guest, Len Lazarick. And hope to have you back from MarylandReporter.com, and hope to have you back soon. You can send in your notes to us, comments, to thenthere'sthat@bocamojo.com.
And I'd like to also thank Michael and Min So, the owners of Lakeside Cafe, and now their newest establishment over at the new medical pavilion, Mike's Cafe, for being our host today. And we appreciate their willingness to have our host the show here. And we'll be back in a couple weeks with another show of Then There's That.
Then There's That.